Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Have you ever noticed that little things can make a big difference? A little pebble in your shoe, not very small, makes a big difference in how long you're going to walk with it, right? What about a little word of encouragement? Something very small, but man, that can just get you through a tough week. Little extra money in the bank account can take care of an unforeseen expense. A little can have a big impact. I keep on my desk something very little. Very, 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 very small. And I received it when I was little. It was given to me by a pastor's wife, Sally Ross, in a little country church, given to a little boy, a little Bible that gave a little motivation. And because of that, it changed the trajectory of my life. This little book was my motivation for learning to read. I argued with my mom and dad. I didn't want to go to kindergarten, didn't want to go to K-5, didn't want to go to school, didn't want to leave home. And mom said, "Aaron, if you go, you can learn to read the Bible to your friends." That set the course for everything. A little phrase, little did she know what that little phrase would do and have such a big impact. This morning, we're going to have Kirk Thomas from the Gideons coming. And some of you are going to say, "That's nice. I'm going to applaud him. I'm going to appreciate listening to what God is doing." But I want you to consider what you can do, because in your mind, you might be thinking, "Oh, it's too little." It's not. Prayer, some financial support, anything that you can do. Every little bit is what gets God's word into hands that need the good news that only comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as he comes, I want you to prayerfully consider, "God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to pray? Do you want me to support? Do you want me to just give encouragement?" There is nothing so little that in God's hand it cannot become much. All right? Would you pray with me as Kirk comes and shares? Kirk, you come on up while I'm praying, please. God and Father, thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that it would speak to us. We pray that we would hear a challenge from you this morning, that we would be able to look and see what you are doing with what we have given you. Lord, we lay our lives down. We are all in. I pray, Lord, that we are. If we are not, would you challenge us with that this morning? Would you use what Kirk has to share with us today to get us out of the seats, that we wouldn't be standing on the premises, we would be standing on the promises, that we would be going out and sharing the good news of Christ with the world around us that so desperately needs it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having us this morning. It's truly a pleasure to be here, and appreciate you allowing us to share in the ministry this morning. It was a blessing to be able to have Sunday school time as well. It's a little bit more informal in that setting, but I just want to share this morning. I started off with a testimony. One evening, I was sitting in my living room reading through a magazine from the Gideons. It had testimonies in it, and I kept thinking as I was reading that we cannot reap if we do not sow. Because as I was reading this testimony, it was of a young Pakistani man who lay ill in a hospital bed in Pakistan. And he said while he was laying there in that hospital bed, one day the administrator of that hospital was out rounding, visiting patients. And that administrator also happened to be a Gideon. And as he went around visiting patients, he would share small testaments, much like this one, which is the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. And he would share with each patient the front of the book, where we call what we refer to as the help section, where it tells us where to turn to in the Bible when we're going through the struggles of life, of whether we're afraid or anxious, or if we're backsliding, or we just need guidance. And we know that God's word will have the answer to any problem that we'll ever face. And then in the back is the plan of salvation as outlined. And that young man said as he laid in that hospital bed, he started reading God's word and the Holy Spirit started to convict him. And he said, well, I laid in that hospital bed. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, that's a great testimony in itself if it ended there, but you see it didn't. That young man, he went back to his mountainous village in Pakistan where he shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with his wife and children. And they, too, accepted Christ. But now they were this Christian family in this village in Pakistan, and he said Christianity wasn't well received. He said, in fact, the other villagers in this village started shunning them. And the shunning became so bad that the villagers actually cut them off from the village well in hopes that they would just leave. And so this young man said he had no choice but to start looking for an alternative water supply. And in their homes in this village, the floors were dirt. And he said he started digging right there in his own home. And you know what happened? He hit this really good water supply right there in his own home. Well, I don't know if you remember here several years back, there was a terrible earthquake in the mountains in Pakistan. And in that earthquake, there was a lot of villages destroyed. And in this particular village, the village well was destroyed. And now there was one source of water in that village, and it was in that Christian family home. And that young man, they didn't shun the villagers. They actually opened up their doors and asked them every day to come in to get their daily water supply. But as they came in to get their daily water supply, they also started sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened? They said, person by person, more and more people started making decisions to follow the Lord Jesus. And by the time he wrote back to the Gideons to share his testimony, that village was now a Christian village in the mountains of Pakistan. You see, you never know, just one copy, how that copy is going to impact lives and how it's going to be used. But we know that God will use it. I just wanted to read in Romans 10, and I wanted to read verses 14 to 17. These are some of my favorite verses, where it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have all not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People need the word of God. People need the Lord. One evening I was reading it was a devotion by Dr. David Jeremiah, where he said, every spiritual battle that we'll ever face is won or lost in our mind. He said, that's why we need to fill it with God's word, so we can fight those battles. So what is the Gideons International? So currently we have over 243,000 members worldwide, and that's Gideons and Auxiliary, the wives of the Gideons serve in the auxiliary. And we have over 243,000 members worldwide of Bible-believing evangelical Christians, where we come together in this ministry with one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to win the lost lives of men and women, boys and girls, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I shared this morning that we're really nothing more than extensions of all the local churches. We're members of our own Bible-believing churches. We come to this together in this ministry called the Gideons to work together to share God's word in our own communities and around the world. And we can't do what we do without the support of the churches. Pastor Aaron mentioned, whether it's through prayer or financial, there's different ways to support the Gideons, but we can't do the work that we do without you. The Gideons were established back in 1899, started placing hotel Bibles in 1908, but since then, it came a long way from just hotel Bibles. We put Bibles in hospitals, nursing homes. We hand out scriptures and testaments in schools and colleges. We go into prisons. We go into the military, local EMS, first responders, police. We get a lot of opportunities. We do something that's called a Bible Blitz, where we'll go out into a city or a community and with the goal of handing out as many copies of God's words as we can, and also to get the opportunity to personally witness to people in the community. One time we were at junior out of college. I belong to the Huntington camp. I'm from the Orbazonia area, if you know where that's at. I live outside of Orbazonia. I live in an area where you call your neighbor the person that lives a mile away, so that sort of gives you an idea where I live, out in the middle of nowhere. But one evening we were at junior out of college, and the college allowed us to come in, and we were able to set up a table outside of the dining hall, and we were allowed to hand out testaments to the students as they were leaving the dining hall that evening. And when we're there, you know, a lot of the students will take and some don't, and we get the opportunity also to talk and witness to some of them. And one evening, the young lady stopped by, and she was a Christian, but she shared with me that she was going to be studying abroad that summer, and she was actually planning on going to China. And she said to me, she said, "I don't suppose you have a Chinese Bible in you, do you?" Now I'm thinking, now again, here's this guy from backwoods Pennsylvania. What do you think the chances of him having a Chinese Bible? Well, I shared earlier this morning, I should never be amazed at how God works in this ministry and the things that happen. But this year that this occurred, I happened to be preparing for the Huntington County Fair. I was in charge of putting the Gideon booth together. And as I was thinking about what would I add, I thought, well, I'll get some different types of Bibles of different languages to put this display together. And one of the Bibles I ordered happened to be a Chinese Bible that was, on this side it was Chinese, this side was English. And when they came, so I wouldn't forget them, I put them in the trunk of my car. So when this young lady at junior out of college said to me, "Don't suppose you have a Chinese Bible?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll be right back." I mean, it was amazing how God orchestrated all that, but I was able to give her a chance, because her goal was she really wanted to be a witness and to share the gospel while she was in China that summer, studying abroad. You just never know how God's going to use it. Prior to the pandemic, the Gideons, we were able, fortunate enough, to around the world, we were placing about 85 to 90 million Bibles and scriptures annually. With the pandemic, it did slow down with the shutdowns and everything, but this year, through about the first 7 months, we're right about 33 million Bibles placed around the world. Things are opening back up, and we are able to get back out and start getting the Bibles placed. But since that 1908, when the Bibles were first started to be placed, the Gideons have placed over 2.4 billion Bibles now around the world. And through that, we hear hundreds and thousands of testimonies that come back to the Gideons over the years that shows the fulfillment of Isaiah 55:11. And I'd like to just read that. It says, So shall my word be that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In Kirk's language, that says, it doesn't go to waste. We get it out there, God's going to use it. We just have to do our part in getting it out. There was a testimony of a young man who said that when he went to college, he wasn't a Christian. He was in a fraternity, and in that fraternity, he was the ringleader, and that fraternity was in trouble all the time. He said, and in fact, usually he was at the heart of it. And one time they were in trouble with the university that he was attending, and he said, as part of a PR stunt, he decided he was going to announce he's going to start a Bible study. Thought maybe that would deflect some of the challenges that they were going through. So he said he announced, but there's only one problem. He didn't own a Bible. It just happened to be about that time the Gideons were on campus handing out scriptures like this. And that young man was crossing campus, and there was a Gideon there that handed him a Bible, and he took that Bible and put it in his backpack and went back. He said, but you know what? He said he started reading it, and the Holy Spirit started to convict him. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And this young man went on, after graduating from college, went on to seminary, went to study to be a pastor, and his name's Craig Rochelle. Craig started Life Church, TV.com, has several campuses over several states, preaches every Sunday to 50 to 100,000 people every week. And think about that one testament. How many lives is that one testament that that person was able to hand out, that somebody in a local church made a contribution? These are averaging about $1.32 a piece for us to place right now. But that young man, you see, and Craig's testimony doesn't end there, because after he started LifeChurchTV.com and started his ministry, he and his team at the church got this idea, we should start a Bible app. We should start an app. And he said, you know, we worked on it, and he said we thought it was a pretty good app. And he said, as we were getting ready to release it, the team was like, well, what should we charge for it? You know, usually you can get 99 cents a download for an app, right? We should do that. And Craig said, no. He said, nobody charged me for my copy of God's Word. He said, I will not charge to hand out copies of God's Word. Mine was free. I want others to have access for free. Do you know, since that Bible app, which is YouVersion, which is probably the most popular Bible app out there today, has been downloaded over 400 million times. You do the math. But Craig said he has no regrets. That's his way of giving back. And think about the number of lives around the world, because that's in over 1,000 languages. And it's just a tremendous Bible app. A lot of good studies on there. So anyways, again, one Bible. And the tie into that, the Gideons, we too have a Bible app. And we encourage people to go out. You can go on the Android store or the Apple store, and you can download it. And it's free as well. We hand out cards like this that we keep on us, and a lot of times my wife and I will put them actually inside the Bibles that we hand out. A lot of times I go through a drive-through. I'll hand it to the person in the drive-through window. But it's amazing. Sometimes you say, hey, you want a free app or you want a Bible app? People are willing. They'll take it. And it has a QR code on the back of the card. You can scan it, download the Bible app. And I'm not sure exactly, but it's over 1,300 languages that's on here, and it's much like YouVersion. You can make notes. You can do bookmarks. There's an audio component. And currently, we're placing Bibles in countries over right around 200 countries around the world, and we're publishing the Bibles in over 100 languages. But the Bible app has a lot more languages on the Bible app than what we're actually publishing. And, you know, in some countries or some languages, the languages aren't written yet. They're spoken. And some of those are on this Bible app. And so when you go in, there may not be any written version, but the audio version is there. To show you how easy this works, I was at a church one time, and I was presenting. And in between services, a young lady came up to me. They were coming into the second service, and she knew the Gideons were there that day. And she came up to me. She says, hey, I don't suppose you have a Thai Bible on you. No, I didn't have one in the trunk of my car this time. But she's like, I don't suppose you have a Thai Bible. And this was right after this app first came out. And I said, I'm thinking, well, I can check online, and then all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, well, Kirk, you just talked about the Bible app. So I said to her, and the young lady from Thailand was with her. I said, do you have a smartphone? And she did, of course, and she pulled it out, and I said, well, watch this. I got my phone out. I hit the Gideon Bible app. I went to the country, Thailand, and it gave all the dialects that was spoken in Thailand. I said, which one is yours? And she showed me, and I hit it. And like that, I had a Thai Bible on my phone. And then I said, and she got this smile on her face, and then I said, watch this. And I hit it, and the audio version came on. God's Word came to life right before her, and she was just so happy. But that's the power of technology in today's world, of just getting God's Word out. There's so many opportunities. But you know what? For all those that have heard around the world, there's still millions that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. even though pre-pandemic, I always say the pandemic's sort of like the home run record. It will forever have these little asterisks beside the data around that time. But pre-pandemic, we were handing out about 2 scriptures every second around the world. And now we're ramping back up towards that. But, you know, with all those scriptures being placed, we're still only able to meet about 2 out of every 3 requests that we get for Bibles. There's still a great need to get copies of God's Word out. So when I get the opportunity to come into churches and speak, the things I try to do to encourage people is, how can you help? How can you help with the game ministry? The foremost thing that we ask for is for your prayers. It's not financial contributions. We ask for your prayer. The Gideon Ministry is a very prayerful organization. We as Gideons gather in our communities every Saturday morning to have time of prayer where we pray for the Gideon Ministry. But we don't just pray for the Gideon Ministry. We specifically pray for the local churches, the pastors, the congregations, and the work that you're doing here in your community. We pray for ministries that you may be supporting. And we just ask that you do the same for us, that you would lift the Gideon Ministry up in your prayers, that you pray for us to be able, one, is pray for those out in the field. You realize in some countries, people literally risk their lives to hand out copies of God's Word. They do. I've met some of those people. We have international conventions that I've been blessed to go to, and I actually get to talk to some of these individuals personally. And it's incredible the stories that they have and what they go through just to get out God's Word, and that's how faithful they are. So we need to keep them in prayer. And we ask that you, you pray for funds. There's a great need for funds to continue to be raised. And we ask that you pray for membership. The Gideon Organization is a Christian business and professional men's organization. Now, that definition has broadened over years, but I realize when we go out into churches, not everybody may be a professional business person. But at the same time, we also have something called Friends of the Gideons, where people can join the Friends of the Gideons, and there's no financial obligation whatsoever. But what it does is you'll get a quarterly newsletter. You'll get the ability. You can actually purchase these testaments. Like my wife and I as Gideons, we don't get these. If we go out in a big blitz, the Gideons will provide these. But for our personal one-on-one witnessing, these are something we purchase and keep with us all the time. And so with that said, you would get the opportunity to purchase. It's the exact same thing, less the emblem on the front. And then you would get invited to, like, pastors' appreciation banquets, and we have something where we call it, like, faith fund rallies, where a lot of these speakers that we sometimes talk about or share their testimonies, they'll actually come in locally, and we get to meet them and hear their testimonies personally. But it's just a way that you can connect locally with the Gideons if it's something you're interested in. Membership's important. We need to grow our membership. I don't know if people realize, but a few years back, the Gideons International designated the United States of America as the 3rd largest mission field in the world today. Think about that. And people say, now how can that be, Kirk? This era of information, technology, everybody knows about Jesus Christ. And I use a simple analogy of this, and it shows my age a little bit, but I grew up in a time where we had prayer and Bible reading in schools. So if you had a young person that grew up and they didn't have a godly influence at home, maybe they didn't have a Bible at home, they still heard God's Word every day in school. They had prayer. They had Bible reading in schools. We've gone 1, maybe 2 generations now. If somebody doesn't have that godly influence at home, they don't have access to a Bible at home, they may have heard the name Jesus Christ, but there's a real good chance they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over half of the scriptures that we give out in the United States of America are in schools and colleges. 80% of the scriptures we hand out worldwide are to youth, because we know that that's a very important place that we need to get God's Word into the hands of our youth. And also, I think, to share just a brief personal testimony, the Gideon Ministry has been something that my wife and I have been able to come in together and serve the Lord in together. It's been good for us both as husband and wife, I think we've both grown spiritually a lot over the years. Because I'll ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hands, but has anyone in here ever struggled to share your faith? Have you ever struggled to share your witness with somebody? I don't know which is harder. Is it harder to witness to a total stranger that you don't know? Or is it harder to witness to a personal close friend, family member? I read a book one time called Share Jesus Without Fear, and this guy could witness to anybody. I mean, it was just incredible. I was like, well, why can't I be like that? And then I realized through time that I was my own worst obstacle. But you know what? When you get that prompting from the Holy Spirit to share the gospel and to share your faith, Satan doesn't want us to share that, right? And that's where that internal battle starts. And the example of that would be one time I work in a hospital, and Nanette called me one day at work and said, you know, her uncle was in the hospital, and she said, it doesn't look good. They're not sure if he's going to live. Immediately, I had this prompting, and I would say it was from the Holy Spirit to say, you need to go see him and talk to him about the Lord. And I keep these in my desk drawer, and I grabbed one, and I went up to his room, and I walked into his room and up to the foot of the bed. And when I walked up to the foot of bed, that's when the battle started, because he was asleep. And I thought, I'll come back later. 3 times I walked to the door thinking, I'll come back later. And 3 times I felt I went back to the foot of the bed, because I kept getting drawn back to the bed. And the last time I was like, I'll come back later. And I was like, it wasn't an audible voice, but it was like, you may not have later. You need to do this now. And about that time, his eyes opened. And he said, hey, what are you doing here? So I went over and started talking to him. You see, his brother had just passed a couple months before this. And at his funeral, they shared the gospel. And so I knew he had heard the gospel message, but I never knew, had he ever, you know, I didn't know where he stood with the Lord. Did he ever give his life to Christ? And so we had the conversation around his brother's funeral service, the gospel message, and did he understand what it meant? And then I just said to him, I said, did you ever accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, no, I haven't. And I said, well, would you like to do that now? And he said, yes, I would. And so at that moment, I had the honor to be able to pray with him as he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I tell people when I share that testimony, I don't do it to lift myself up. I do it as hopefully as encouragement to all of you, because as believers, we're here to worship and we're here to share, right? We need to spread the good news. We need to share the gospel. And I would suggest as believers, we all get those promptings to talk to somebody about our faith. And we all get that internal battle of what will they say? What if they say no? So what? I mean, if they say no, I read statistics one time. It says it takes the typical non-believer 7-8 times to hear the gospel before they ever accept Christ. Well, you could be number one maybe to get it started. But the other statistic I read was 80% of people that accept the Lord Jesus Christ come through one-on-one interactions, personal interactions. The big evangelistic things are great, and they bring people to Christ, but the majority of people come through one-on-one interactions. So I encourage you today, be bold, share your faith. Another way, when we talk about funds, about the Gideon Ministry, that you can support the Gideons, is through the Gideon Card Program. And you do have a Gideon Card Rack. I know my wife talked about the card program this morning, but just to share how that's used, in the card rack, there's cards. In each card, there's typically in a card rack, there's in memory of, thinking of you, and in recognition of cards. Usually those are the three in the rack. And with each card, there's an envelope. So what you do is you take the card and you've put in, like, in memory of this person, I'm going to donate so many Bibles. One hotel Bible that you see like they're usually red or maroon or blue. These average about $5 to place in a hotel. But you would put that in here, and there's a place to write a note to the family. My wife's very good with cards. She sends cards for recognitions of, you know, anniversaries, birthdays, someone has a baby, and then we use them a lot in memory of, too. When, if we know someone that passed away, we'll donate Bibles in memory of them. And that card goes to the family, and then the envelope actually has the local Gideon camp from Tyrone would have their camp address on, and that goes to them to go towards the purchase and distribution of Bibles. Oops. One hotel Bible, we estimate, the Gideons go in usually once a year, sometimes twice a year, the hotels to check the Bibles. And if they're torn or tattered or whatever, written in or coffee stained, we'll take them and replace them. But we like to make sure the rooms that the Bibles are placed in. We estimate, though, that the average Bible for $5 places one Bible, the life expectancy is about 6 years. And now when I say life expectancy, we don't throw them out because if they're a little stained or they're we'll take them and reuse them in the prison ministries. So we do reutilize, or maybe it's we recycle them. How's that? but we take those into the prisons. But the typical hotel Bible and an average in that 6 year lifespan, the typical hotel Bible has a potential reaching about 2,300 people who are going to circulate through that hotel room in 6 years. So think about the number of lives that one Bible can potentially touch. To share another testimony, again, not knowing the impact and the timing, you know, sometimes you share because you don't know what tomorrow holds. My wife and I, well, there's been this past year, you know, everyone's been through COVID, right? I mean, this whole pandemic's impacted everybody in the world. And it's made me realize over the last couple of years is, you know, every day we're one day closer to the Lord coming back. We know that. But it also helped me realize that don't take today for granted because tomorrow's not promised. And who knows? If you get that prompting to share and you ignore it, it may be a missed opportunity. And here's a testimony I wanted to share. There's a young Colombian girl. She received the New Testament from a Gideon. And her father was Muslim. Her family was Muslim. And her father caught her reading it and told her not to read it because that book's full of lies. But she kept reading it until one day her father found her with her New Testament again. And he took it from her and he put it in her pocket and then he went to work. But her father was a mining engineer. And that day he got called into the mines to look at an issue. And while he was there, the sirens started going off and there was a mine collapse. And he and 30 other men were trapped in the mine. It took the rescue workers 5 days to get to them. And by the time they got there, all 31 men were passed. But in that young girl's father's hands was that New Testament. And there was a note written in there. It said, "To my daughter, keep reading this New Testament. It is true and right. I will see you one day in heaven." And when they turned over the page from that note, was his signature where he accepted Christ. And when they turned the page one more time, there was 30 signatures of all the other men in that mine. That one testament that she wasn't to have saved 31 men. Incredible testimony. And when I hear things like that, it inspires me. I hope it inspires you, and not just about the Gideon ministry, but to share your witness, to be bold with your faith in your communities. One thing I did want to share is, as we close, is 100% of your donations. When you make it, whether it's through a church donation or a Gideon card, I apologize we didn't have the bulletin inserts today, but when you make a donation, 100% go towards the purchase and distribution of scriptures. And people say, now hold it, you guys are a big international organization. You have administrative overhead, right? We do. But the dues, we pay membership dues to be part of the organization. It's the membership dues of members that covers 100% of the administrative overhead, which allows us to take your donations and apply that towards the purchase and the distribution of scriptures. So I think that's really important to know. And finally, the last testimony I wanted to share in closing, and I actually had a privilege to meet somebody that knew this family. October's Pastor Appreciation Month, so don't forget. I know we're far away, but just trying to help you out, Aaron. But Pastor Appreciation Month, we have Pastor Appreciation cards. And my wife purchased some 1 year, and on the back, every card has a testimony on the back. And this was just a powerful testimony. And then, like I said, I got to meet somebody that actually knew this family. But this says, my grandfather received a New Testament while growing up in the Philippines. He read it every day, and he was saved. He became a pastor and prayed that his sons would become pastors too. God answered his prayer. All five of his sons became pastors, and so did their 15 sons. They became pastors too. God has used our family to start over 600 churches. One Bible led to 600 churches. So, again, you never know when we get these out. What we do know is God won't let them go to waste. They get used. It's changing lives around the world and here in our own communities. So I just want to say thank you very much for your support of the Giving Ministry. If anyone's ever interested, you know, I know you have, I believe, a couple Gideons in this church, but you can reach out to them. You can reach out to me at any time. Pastor has my contact information. Love to talk to you. But thank you very much, and God bless.
As the rain and snow come down from heaven, God says in Isaiah 55:10, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. God's word does not return useless to him. It accomplishes its purpose. That small little thing that God is leading you to do, don't leave it undone. Please reach out to the Thomases, reach out to me regarding the Gideons, connect with one of the other Gideons in the church. Let's close in a word of prayer, and after that word of prayer, I'm going to ask the members to stay. If you're not a member here, please, we love you, we are glad you're here, but we're going to be dealing with a family meeting. By the way, there will be a sign-in. In about 5 minutes after I close in prayer, we will start the meeting. That gives you time to see yourself to the exit. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that is in it. Thank you for the changed lives that you have accomplished through what we would think a relatively small thing. Thank you for these stories of people who have faithfully and obediently presented their testimony, the truth of God's word, the truth of your word to your people. Lord, I pray that you would use us. Lord, we are here for your purposes. Lord, would you use us to accomplish your ends? In Jesus' name, amen.